Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes. I am the half athlete. My name is Christian Bond. I don't play sports anymore, but I write about them. I broadcast them. Pretty much anything POU does athletically, I'm there to cover it. Joining me in studio is a member of the POU football team. He plays wide receiver and wears number 7, Kellen Westring. Kellen, how are you today?
I am fantastic this morning,
wow.
Christian. You know, I was thinking about it this week. I love sports so much. So, let's rewind, if you will. Week 1. The Los Angeles Rams play the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers win that Monday night game 28-0. Then week 2, the Seattle Seahawks, our beloved Hawks, go to LA and lose to the Rams 9-3. And then the 49ers come to town. So on paper, the 49ers should probably beat the Seahawks because the 49ers beat the Rams and the Rams beat the Hawks. But that's what I love about sports. As Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friend. Sports are unpredictable, and that is why I will never let them out of my life.
All right. Joining us, another athlete in studio for today's show. She's a member of the POU basketball team at POU. She plays forward and wears number 44. She is Lacey Nicholson. Lacey, how are you?
I'm doing good, Kellen. That was quite the intro. Thank you for that. Guys, I had a great weekend. I was able to catch up on lots of sports, was missing PLU football this weekend, but able to watch the Dogs and the Seahawks, which was fun to see. 2 wins for that. And I'm excited for this weekend. I am actually going to the UW game tomorrow night against Stanford, so really excited for that one and excited to talk about the Dogs later in the show.
All right, excellent. Rounding out the starting 3.5. Another member of the POU basketball team. He plays point forward. He listed himself as point forward, wearing number 32, Drew Artisoni. Drew, how are you?
Christian, I am fantastic. Let me just roll through the great week we've had in sports. So, sad thing happened in the MLB. Jose Fernandez, the Marlins ace, passed away. He was absolutely fantastic. Passed away in a boating accident. And I saw the most magical, crazy, amazing thing about sports. We saw D. Gordon step up, take a pitch from the right side. How Jose Fernandez batted, walked over to the left side, and hit the next ball out of the yard. The magic moment that why we love baseball, why we love sports. And then I'm in class yesterday, and my phone goes absolutely nuts. I don't know why. I can't take it anymore. My legs vibrating off the chair. Tim Tebow walked up in his first at-bat in the minor leagues and put one out of the yard.
First pitch.
Just drove it into deep left center. I was so excited. I wanted to leave class. I wanted to go home and watch the highlight immediately. It was a great weekend baseball-wise. I know Christian's so happy because my entire opening rant for the first time ever has nothing to do with basketball or football. So it was a fantastic week in sports so far.
So, folks, I want to remind those of you who are listening that most of these stories we will be talking about today can be found at massmedia.plu.edu. We want to hear from you, our listeners, throughout the show. So, folks, feel free to call into the show at any time. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332.
All right, we got an interview to start the show this week. Our guest is someone that I have wanted to have on the show pretty much since we started doing this a year or so ago. She is the athletic director at POU. Welcome, Lori Turner.
Hi, how's it going today?
Good. All right, Lori, well, we have some questions for you, so I guess we'll just kick it off right now. How does someone become an athletic director at a university?
Oh, well, really? You really want to know that? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of different paths, but my particular path was I started out in coaching. And after coaching basketball at a variety of different institutions, got more interested in the administrative side of things. And so I turned in my coaching rings, coaching one team to Really worked my way up as an assistant athletic director, as an associate athletic director at a variety of different schools. And prior to being at PLU, I was at UC San Diego in a role that was a senior associate athletic director position. And the opportunity opened up at PLU, and, well, the rest is history. Here I am. And so I think for many individuals, coaching, having the benefit of being a coach, I have a pretty good relationship with most of my coaches because I've kind of been there, coached teams, and I think that has been great. A lot of directors of athletics nowadays, though, do come from almost a marketing background, a fundraising background. Many of them have been attorneys because of the legal aspects of the job, particularly at the Division I and Division II level.
Interesting. So you kind of led on to this a little bit. So what exactly are you in charge of at PLU? Because at Division III, I know it's a little different how the athletic director is positioned.
Yes, absolutely. It is quite different. At Division I, you are really an external individual, and your primary responsibilities are fundraising. At Division III, we are still really much our athletic program as an integral part of the educational process at PLU. As most of you all know, that our student-athletes love the game, and they are not on athletic scholarships. So most Division III programs are seeking to have athletic departments that develop leaders, that they absolutely enhance their enrollment of their university by having these sport programs. Student-athletes choose to come to PLU, not just because of the great academics, but really because they would like to participate in their sport. And so that in itself is a lot different. So the Division III athletic director spends a lot of time with really being as a mentor to her coaches, in my case, and spending time with coaches, spending time with student athletes, really a lot of internal operations, which ADs at the Division I level are not very internal at all. My job has changed tremendously over the 11 years that I've been here. And taking on athletics as well as recreation, spending more time with our advancement office, a lot of time with our admission office. Athletics is a department on our campus that really covers the spectrum, meaning we interact with students when they're 17 as prospects and their families, and we continue to interact with them when they're alumni and, of course, why they're here. So it's quite different than the Division I model.
Absolutely. We're kind of curious as to what are some of the toughest parts of your job.
Probably the toughest part of the job is the ability to manufacture resources, okay? We never have enough money to do all the things that we want to do. And that's probably true, and it doesn't really matter if you're at Pacific Lutheran University or if you're at Florida State or another Division I program. There's never enough. You're always trying to keep up with the Joneses, and that's really not any different for PLU. So resources, both the physical, our facilities, the challenges around our facilities, our human resources, the challenges around having part-time coaches that have full-time jobs elsewhere, and really a lot of demands on any coach from student athletes. Those are probably some of the difficult tasks. And I would say at Division III, the directors of athletics spend a lot of time constantly educating the PLU community about what Division III athletics is. A lot of faculty members that come into a liberal arts institution are coming from a research Division I program, and they only know athletes and athletics at that level. And so we're educating our professors and our faculty members. No, these are student athletes that are not on athletic scholarship. That they are involved in their community, that they truly are student athletes and are here and are scholars. And that's a different model. So spend a lot of time on education as well.
Awesome. So to kind of go along with that question, kind of flip it around, what are the most rewarding parts of your job?
Well, just to watch I've stayed in education my entire career, and because I see myself as an educator, even though I'm an administrator, and watching the growth of 17-year-olds and when they leave at 22, and the things that we feel like we have impacted the student-athletes' experience and who they will become as people and citizens and leaders in our community, those are the most rewarding times. And absolutely, the competitions. I enjoy going to games. I coached and played basketball, so I have to say, Drew, basketball's one of my favorites. Yes. Okay, yeah, yes. Right, exactly. And so, but I enjoy all sports, and I really enjoy the fact that in the heart, my heart, it's all about being active and really wanting student athletes to continue to be making healthy lifestyle choices as they go through life. And I continue to work out and do things, and that's really what I want to try to impress upon, and that's what I really enjoy. Every day is different, working with young people, working in a college setting. It's a lot different than corporate America, and I really enjoy that aspect of it.
Now, Lori, a couple of weeks ago, you took a trip to Newburgh. You didn't go there for Dutch Bros coffee. You went there for a reason. You were on a mission. You went there to look at their athletic complex. In your opinion, how far is PLU from having a stadium on campus for football games, soccer games, other events? I know it's kind of a tough question, but a lot of people are kind of wondering, what does that even look like, and how was that trip?
Yes, how far? Well, that's something when I've been here for 11 years. I think I already said that, and we've been talking about it since day one. It is an anomaly that Pacific Lutheran University is one of the few programs in the country that has a football program and does not have a stadium. However, we've never had a stadium, and we've been pretty darn competitive. And so over time, I think people have just kind of realized that we don't have a stadium and what would it take, and how close are we? It all comes back to financial obligations. And most stadiums are built nowadays by donor support. It is a misnomer to think that stadiums or athletic-specific facilities are coming out of university budgets. That is just not how it's done, okay? Not even at the Division III level, certainly not the way it's done at Division I or Division II. And so it is finding individuals that would support our mission. The good news about that is, yes, we did go to George Fox, and there was four of us, and we are having a debrief here in the next couple of weeks with our president and some key individuals, vice presidents here at PLU, to kind of share with what we've learned, okay? And George Fox, it wasn't that long ago that they added football, and when they added football, they improved their facilities. They had actually just a grass field that was used for soccer, converted it to a football field, and a building attached to that that serves as their locker room. And already, that was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and already that facility is kind of, it is basically utilized by football, but it's also the other facilities, the weight room, it's because they've added football, all right, that has put a stress on some of those other facilities. So they're also, not only what have they done, is what are they looking to do, which is bringing in another fitness center. And so I think that PLU, we've made progress in certain sports. We, over the years, we have a synthetic surface. Our competition facility for soccer is competitive with Division III. But the fact that our football team has to drive 20 minutes to Puyallup to play at Spark Stadium, that is absolutely a recruiting disadvantage for us, and hoping to be able to make some changes down the road. The good news is that we have a master plan. Mm-hmm. We have a grass field with the potential of being able to put a stadium there. We just need people like all of you that are listening, writing big checks.
That's right.
That's what we need to move that forward. So it is an exciting time, and I would say more discussion. And the fact that George Fox was able to do something absolutely has put people at PLU thinking a little bit more seriously about possibilities.
For a moment, Lori, can I ask you just about the department initiative towards inclusive language and how important that is to you?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, again, the athletic department tries to be a reflection of the mission statement of PLU. Mm-hmm. And not only do we have to answer to that mission statement, but the bigger challenge or another opportunity, I would say, would be just the spirit of NCAA Division III athletics. And mm-hmm. so across the board, whether that means over the last several years, Division III has led the way when from NCAA perspective, when we talk about student athletes and supporting It's On Us, and if you can play, you can play. There's a lot of videos, a lot of work that we have done specifically at PLU and across the nation from a student athlete perspective, probably more so than any other division at the NCAA. We really have been the voice for inclusion, and that is reflected in our programs, and that just ties into where we have elevated it on our campus over the last several years, and and within our department. So it's absolutely very important to me. My goal would be that, and has been, from the student-athlete perspective, no matter what sport you participate in, I want to have equity with within those programs as well. We are one department, and again, I want our sport programs to reflect what the student body population looks like and acts like, and inclusion is something that is there. And I think as educators, once again, it will always be there. And so one of my ultimate goals is that our athletic department trains our student athletes to be global citizens. And in order to do that, you have to understand that inclusion is here, and PLU isn't the PLU it was 30 or 40 years ago, and nor is the world.
That is right. We only have you for a couple more minutes here. So for the last couple minutes, we would like to do some word association.
Is a game. Huh? I like games. Oh, dear. Okay. All right.
We're going to throw out a word or a phrase, and you give us what comes to mind.
You obviously have talked to my friends who know that I'm really terrible at things like this. But okay. All right.
All right. The first word, Lori. Puget Sound.
Puget Sound. I'm thinking of the school, and right. That would be arch rival.
Excellent. All right. Student athletes.
Commitment.
PLU coaches.
Oh.
What?
That was the There's just not one word when it comes to coaches. It's because it's commitment, it's work ethic, it's struggle, it's fighting. It's so many words when it comes to our coaches as far as this is not one word. I'm not playing the game. This is how I am. I don't really play the game. Good,
you're breaking the rules.
But the reality is I see our coaches as being such huge ambassadors and such great influencers of our student athletes.
Yeah. Names Fitness Center.
Old. Looking better all the time.
It is.
But we really do need a new fitness center.
All right. Division III Athletics.
That's where life is at. That's the best division. I think Division III Athletics really represents what athletics is all about and what it used to be.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for you today. Perfect. We'd like to thank you for coming in on your birthday, making a trip in here.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
What? I did not know it was your birthday. Should we sing?
Yeah, 29 on the 29th. That's what everybody
it's
always
golden
knows.
Birthday.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in here.
Thanks,
Lori. Thank you for the opportunity.
Folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, it will be time for Lacey's Lutes. Find out what Lacey has in store for us next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
What is cool?
Cool is doing well in school.
Now that's cool.
Anyone who does well in school is a nerd.
Now that's not. Cool is an attitude.
And if you have the right attitude, you can achieve anything.
Be cool. Stay in school.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show, please do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, for folks that are scoring at home, that is 253-535-7332. Christian, what do we have next?
We got Lacey's Lutes is on tap. Lacey, who'd you talk to this week?
I was able to talk to Takara Mitsui, and guys, if you haven't been listening, then you might not know her, but we bring her up almost every week. She's an incredible athlete, a huge asset to the women's soccer team, but something you might not know about her is that she's also a nursing student here at PLU, and today we're going to learn a little bit about how she juggles both worlds. I am here with Takara Mitsui. She is a senior on the women's soccer team. She is the goalkeeper and a stud at that. She is also a nursing major here at PLU. So we're just going to talk to her. We're interested to know how Takara balances nursing and being a part of the soccer team here. So Takara, welcome. And what kind of inspires you, what inspired you to get into the field, and have you always wanted to be a nurse?
So I guess. Yeah, I've always wanted to be a nurse ever since. This sounds kind of weird, but literally ever since first grade. It's kind of funny because when I graduated from King's, my first grade teacher actually sent me a letter in the mail, and it was an assignment that I did in first grade, and the first thing that it said was, like, I want to be a nurse. So, I mean, that kind of reflects. It's kind of amazing looking back at that, and now I'm here. I'm a senior. I'm going to graduate from PLU, and, you know, I'm going into nursing. So that's been awesome. And I guess just, like, in my past, you know, I spent a lot of time in the hospital. My grandma was in and out of the hospital a lot, and so just looking at the nurses that took care of her and, like, the way that they treated her, like, I really saw, like, oh, I want to be able to do that for other people as well.
So. Awesome. So you talked about graduating. Are you going to be able to graduate on time? I know you have a lot of responsibilities being a captain on the soccer team and being in the nursing program. Kind of where are you at in the nursing program? What cohort are you in, and do you plan to graduate on time?
Yeah, so I'm currently a senior one in the nursing program, and I'm on schedule to graduate. I'll be graduating in May, so that's really exciting. Yeah, so I was a fall start, so if you start in the fall, you end up graduating, you know, on schedule. So I was really fortunate to be able to start in the fall my sophomore year.
Cool, so you're on track. That's mm-hmm. awesome. So how do you balance it all from soccer practice every day and nursing? I know you have clinicals that are at the hospital, whatever, on campus, but mm-hmm. also time in the classroom. So mm-hmm. I guess just kind of take us through a normal day in your life of all of that.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely busy. It's hard to manage, but time management has been a key to my success in being able to balance, like, soccer and school, obviously. So a normal week of mine would be, like, Monday, Tuesday. I'm at the hospital. I work at Good Sam in Puyallup. So that's my clinical for the day. It starts at 6 in the morning, and it goes till 3:30. And Mondays are actually our days off, so I don't miss practice that day. However, on Tuesdays, yeah, so I have clinical, and then I get back. We have weights at 3:45, so I might be a little late to that. And then we have night practice, so that goes from, like, 6 to 8. And then we have video after, which goes till 9. So, I mean, Tuesdays are really tough days for me.
Yeah.
You know, luckily, so Wednesday, Fridays, I actually miss class. I mean, I miss practice with my teammates, but we actually just got a new goalkeeper coach. His name's Jonas Tanzer, and he is really flexible and able to kind of work around my schedule. And as a goalkeeper, it's not as huge to, like, miss a team practice because I can have goalkeeper trainings with him. So I train after class on Wednesdays. I have class pretty much all day on Wednesday, and I train right after with him. And then Fridays, I'm able to fit in a practice in between my two classes. So, you know, it's definitely a challenge, but at the same time, my teammates and my coaches are super supportive of me pursuing my nursing degree. And mm-hmm. so it's all worked out, and it's been a great experience.
Yeah, and I think that's an awesome part of PLU being D3 athletics.
Yeah,
you're able
for
to...
Sure.
to do both, which is awesome. So you have a really full schedule. How do you manage, like, your social life and your relationships? Like, are you super close with the people in your cohort and obviously your teammates?
Yeah.
How are
yeah.
your relationships there?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge balancing, you know, soccer, academics and social life. But as I've noticed, as I've moved on in the program, it's kind of less like, oh, like, I have to get all A's, and, like, you know, I've kind of realized that, you know, I don't want to miss out on the college experience and hanging out with people instead of, like, studying on a Friday night or whatnot. So, I mean, I've definitely been able to balance it more. You know, my cohort is super close. We have all of our classes together, and so you spend a lot of time with them. Definitely teammates. I find some time, you know, outside of just the soccer setting to, you know, hang out with other people and go over to the soccer house a lot, and we just hang out there. And yeah, so it's been a challenge, but definitely gotten better as as I've progressed throughout the program.
So is there anything that you enjoy most about your major, like, being in the hospital, having that hands-on experience? Is there any particular experiences that you have that have really touched you or gotten to you?
I guess for me, having that hands-on experience and being able to actually have patient interaction and, you know, face-to-face contact with people that I'm working with. And, you know, something that's really touched me a lot is seeing these people in the hospital that are, you know, at really bad parts of their lives, you know, super sick, and just, it's been an eye-opener for me, and, like, how blessed and fortunate I am to be at PLU. And, yeah, I may have a super hectic schedule throughout the week, and it's just it reminds me of, like, how blessed I am, and my bad day does not even compare to someone else, you know, in the hospital that I've been working with. Like, they're fighting for their lives, and I'm here, and I'm just, you know, I have this great opportunity. So it's just been a huge eye-opener for me in a lot of different ways.
And a humbling experience, I'm sure. All right, well, flipping over to the soccer end of things, you guys are haven't lost a game yet in conference. You've tied one to Linfield last weekend, and you're heading down to Oregon again this weekend to play Pacific and Willamette. Do you, what are your kind of your expectations for the games this weekend?
This weekend it'll definitely be a tough battle. This is going to be our second road trip in a row. We just got back from Oregon last weekend, so it's kind of different because we haven't had, like, in the past, like, back to back, you know, two games in Oregon. So yeah, it'll be a challenge. I mean, every team in our conference is competitive, and, you know, everyone works hard, and we all have the same goal of wanting to ultimately win conference in the end. And so, you know, even though we're undefeated, that doesn't mean anything. Like, we need to take each game one game at a time, and that's something that Seth has really kind of laid down on us, and just concentrating in the moment at the game. Like, this is another game. Now we're 0-0. Like, we're going to have a new opportunity here to progress and just take each game one game at a time. So that's kind of the mentality that we have.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Well, we are excited to watch you this weekend, and good luck, and thank you for your time.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I thought you brought up a great point, Lacey. I think if Takara was at a Division I school, I'm not quite sure she'd be able to be a nurse and the goalkeeper for the team. But the fact that she goes to a Division III school, I think, allows her to be able to do that, which I think is really awesome.
It's also the position she plays, Kellen, is what allows her to, you know, do that kind of individual practice on her own, because not a lot of what she does will has to be with the other 10 women on the field. She's, you know, goalkeepers, you're affectionately are on an island back there. It's you and the goal, and that's it. And your job is to keep the ball out. And yeah, there's, you know, she talks a lot and helps move women around and helps distribute the ball out on buildups. But besides that, it's just her and the goal. And so I think her practicing like that may actually be helpful for her come game time.
I think I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit on that. It's not necessarily just her and the goal. She is a huge vocal aspect to the team.
Yeah.
Being the goalkeeper, she has to see what's going on. Also being the captain, she has few responsibilities there. But yeah, being vocal still is something you can just read in a game situation. It's not something you really have to practice there. So she is fortunate, and she did hit on it. She is humbled and blessed to be in the situation that she's in. And it is really cool to see that.
You know, I know we picked on her a few times in here that she, you know, she's won the Northwest Conference Player of the Week and has all these shutouts and stuff, and I always pick on her too. It's like, you just barely touch the ball. I mean, you'll see the ball. You have like 6-7 saves. There's games you'll have one save. And she goes, yeah, it's because the back line's so darn good.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, you know, she says, that's when I smile, because I was like, okay, the things we are talking about in here actually matter. They're actually right. So it's pretty cool.
And she's able to credit her teammates.
She's
not taking all the glory upon herself. She is an amazing goalie, an outstanding player, and obviously balances a lot on her plate. To add to that, Takara only has 3 goals scored against her in 8 games. She has 29 saves on the season and has also been named Northwest Conference Defensive Player of the Week twice already this season, 2 consecutive weeks in a row. And we're just looking forward to seeing them. I mean, as we said on the interview, the Lutes will travel down to Oregon this weekend for the second weekend in a row. They'll be playing Pacific and Willamette, and we're excited to see how they do down there.
And Takara's battling a hand injury right now, possibly going to have to get x-rays. And so to see her compete, Todd, you know, one of our athletic trainers here at PLU, does this kind of special wrap job on her hand that she's been kind of, you know, having to play through. And so it just shows the competitor that she is. Again, the only time I ever get to see her, you know, or have ever seen her is in the library. And so, I mean, it's so true. It really is. She really defines what it takes to be a student athlete at PLU, and in my opinion, a model for Division III. So, folks, we are going to take a short break. When we come back, we will take a look at the PLU soccer teams. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Don't worry. 74 people were picked before me in the NFL draft.
To fight childhood obesity, United Way and the NFL are helping kids play at least 60 minutes a day.
Okay, time for the team obstacle course. Yay!
What this place needs is more healthy kids. To get involved or donate, go to unitedway.org/play60.
Now I get it.
Welcome back, folks, to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Era Student Radio. If you want to call on the show, please do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, get your pen, get your pad out, 253-535-7332.
Once again, my name is Christian Bond. I am the half athlete here at POU. I'm joined by Kellen Westring. He's a member of the POU football team. He's a wide receiver. I'm also joined by POU basketball's Lacey Nicholson and Drew Artisoni. So we're going to jump in it right now. We're going to talk some more PLU soccer. The women have not lost all season, but they came pretty close on Saturday's game against Linfield. Let's talk about how that went.
Well, this weekend, the game was an absolute thriller against Linfield. It really came down to the wire. Kelly White got the scoring starting out in the early first half in the 10th minute. The goal carried the Lutes to a 1-0 lead into halftime. The lead lasted until Shelby DeRocker of Linfield scored in the 74th minute, and the game was tied at 1-1.
Somebody needed to clutch up, and that person was Leah McGee. When she scored in the 87th minute, PLU ended up holding a lead for a couple minutes, but they couldn't keep that lead as Taylor Cole tied the game at 2 in the 90th minute. Nobody found the back of the net through the 2 overtime, so the game ended in a tie at 2-2 in Minville.
So, Kellen, before I start here, can you define clutch up?
Well, I was thinking about that commercial. I need a clutch gene. What is that commercial? It's not State Farm. I need a hot tub. But basically, the clutch gene, you know, in soccer, your sphincter starts to get a little bit tight as that clock is winding down.
Yep.
And in soccer, in my opinion, that's more impressive than a last-minute touchdown catch or a game winner in basketball. Because soccer, again, the field is so long. Mm-hmm. People have to kind of be in the right position. So that is big time by the Linfield player.
PLU was in attack mode all game as they put up 28 shots, 13 of which on goal, and Linfield was only able to put up 12 all game long.
They had to gather themselves quickly because they had a game the next day against Lewis and Clark. How'd that go?
Well, Kelly White once again starts the scoring off. Her second goal in 2 days. She found the back of the net in the 22nd minute. Kaylee Roselle scored for PLU in the 44th minute as the Lutes cruise to a 2-0 victory over the Pioneers.
And a name we really haven't heard on this show yet. Oh, wait, we have. Takar Matsui was fantastic once again. She wasn't really extremely busy as she only had to make 3 saves. But again, it doesn't take away from the fact that this shutout was her 6th shutout of the season.
No, it's the same story as earlier in the weekend. It's kind of like watching that movie that you can't get enough of, Kellen. It's kind of like the things that play on HBO every once in a while where you can watch them and then they play again in 2 hours and you can watch them again. Because, you know, PLU's women's soccer is actually a ton of fun to watch, even more fun to broadcast. PLU was able to put up 19 shots, 7 on goal. Everyone in the Northwest Conference, though, has kind of figured out Coach Cespedal and the women. They kind of figured out their game plan, how they like to play. The back line is impenetrable, and their attack is relentless. That's never going to change. So every team has just started to park the bus. Anyone know what park the bus means?
Nope.
Park the bus is when you put all 10 women behind the ball. You might as well put the entire travel bus behind the ball because we're just not going to let you score, and we're going to hope and pray to score on the counterattack if we can get enough of your women forward to where we can get a mismatch and hopefully get a cheap one when the back line's scrambling and Takar is having to play one-on-one soccer.
We're nearing the midway point of the 2016 season, and the Lutes have been excellent so far, going 6-0-2. October's in a couple days. It's the last full month of competition. In everybody's opinion, you know, by the numbers, who are some conference teams POU needs to beat to walk away with the season title?
They must beat Puget Sound the 5th of October, and they have to prove they are better than Linfield on the 22nd of October. Those are statement games. Puget Sound, because they were picked to finish in front of them, and Linfield, because they drew a game they should have never gotten a draw in. if they want to continue to maintain their spot in the national rankings and continue their rise in them, every game from here on out, Christian, is a must win.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you, Drew. I'm really excited for October 5th. That game against UPS is going to be fun. It's a rival game, as we heard Lori Turner, you know, respond to our one word as an arch rival. And again, anything can happen in a rivalry game. Again, when we practice, guys, you know, our practice switch. They lay over. So when we practice the football team, the soccer team is right after us, vice versa. And it's kind of fun to see the soccer team. They just have a special bond this year. They're really, really close as a team. And, you know, knowing Takara decently well, her as a captain said she's never been on a team that is this tight-knit, which is so exciting because that's going to help win some close games because they're playing for each other. And it's going to be exciting to see as these conference games start to pack up.
All right, let's switch the focus and send it over to the men's side. They had a pair of games this weekend. Let's talk about the first one. How'd that go?
Well, the Lutes played a couple of home games this weekend. Fun to have them back here in Parkland against Whitman and Whitworth. They started off against Whitman on Saturday.
Whitman scored the first goal of that game in the 37th minute. As halftime was coming to an end, Whitman kind of had the momentum until Eddie Nah was able to punch one in for the Lutes in the 43rd minute. Nah tallies his sixth goal on the season with that one.
Very nice.
Whitman came out hot in the second half, shutting down the Lutes and scoring the 48th minute and the 60th minute. The Lutes lost this one 3-1. The men came out flat after halftime. They couldn't pass the ball. There was no flow to their attack. Their buildups were choppy, and the keeper merry-go-round made everything that much worse. Three keepers can't play in a game in soccer. There's no flow in the defense. There's no vocal leadership. There's no nothing. This is just pick and choose and throw darts. This was a trap game for the Lutes, and they fell right into it.
Yeah, as you mentioned, three goalies saw action for the Lutes in the game on Saturday. Jack Rose played the entire first half, giving up one goal. Then Tanner Primo stepped in, and he started the second half, giving up a pair of goals. And finally, Cole Weaver ended the game in goal for the Lutes, and he had one save.
Oh, yeah, on Saturday, the Lutes went on to face Whitworth, the other Wit. The Pirates scored the first goal of the game in the 18th minute, but Bennett Bugby responded in the 32nd minute to tie the game up at half. It was great to see Bennett net one as a midfielder. He's usually the setup guy for Eddie and the other forwards. However, it was great to see a little productive selfishness from the midfield motor.
The Lutes scored early in the second half against the Pirates as Eddie Nah, again, passed the defense and tallied his seventh goal of the season in the 52nd minute.
The Pirates then went on to score off a penalty kick in the 85th minute to tie up the ball game. This put the teams into overtime. In the first overtime period, both teams struggled to find the back of the net, launching them into a second half and final overtime. Nah broke free and took a pass from Diego. Help me out here, guys.
Seven.
All the way back to the goal, driving it past the goalie to end the game in a 3-2 victory for the Lutes. Very, very exciting finish.
It is an exciting finish, and it's very nice to see them bounce back from the earlier game. Drew described it as a trap game. They fell into it. They lost. It's a tough one, but to have the resiliency to bounce back and get the win the next day in double overtime to end with a game winner, that's a great thing for the men's soccer team to walk away with.
So the men will also travel down to Oregon this weekend. They will be playing Linfield and Willamette, so we're excited to see what they can do down there.
Quick roundtable question for you guys. Do you think the fact that they have three goalies, because in my opinion, when I think of three goalies compared to the women's team only with Takara, I think of maybe fresh legs, fresh hands. Is that not the case? Is it hard to get in a flow with that?
It's so hard. When you come out starting as a keeper, you get in the flow of the game. You start to realize how they're going to attack, the angles you need to take, how their forwards press, if you're going to get the ball played back to you a ton, if you're going to be a big part of the buildup. And then when you throw a new keeper in there, you have to relearn all that stuff. And then you throw another new keeper in there, and you have to relearn all that stuff again because they all have different strengths and weaknesses.
It's interesting. You know, you consider your goalie your anchor of your defense. You know, anytime I watch soccer, I take note of how whoever is in goal is aggressively shouting at the defense, trying to give orders, trying to tell people where they need to be. It looks like they're being as mean as they can, but they're the only player that can see the entire field. They're the only person that the entire field is in front of. Mm-hmm. So it's having the defense having to be used to three different voices, three different styles, three different ways that certain players want their defense to set up has to be tough, not only, you know, on the goalies who are just not being able to get into the flow of a game, but for the defense who has to readjust to how their goalkeeper wants them to play.
Yep.
And we're about midway through the soccer season, and the men's soccer team is putting three different goalies into a single game. Why is that? What can they not find that flow? Drew, you've been able to watch a lot of the games. In your opinion, who's the best goalie out there, and why can't they stick and be consistent with one person?
Jack Rose is the best goalkeeper with the best hands. He, if one-on-one, I'd put my money on, you know, one-on-one, I put my money on Jack Rose to make a stop. However, he doesn't have the best goal kicks and doesn't have the biggest boot in the world. He has the best hands. Cole Weaver, however, has the best foot skill and the best ability to boot the ball away. Jack is also about 4.5 inches taller than Cole Weaver is. And so, I don't know about you, but I like my goalkeepers big with good hands because that's what keeps the ball out of the net. I don't care how far you can kick the ball. Your job is to keep it out of the net. You're the only guy on the field allowed to play with your hands. Play with them. You better be able to play with them well. And the bigger you are, the more net you cover. That's who I'm going to put as my goalkeeper. There is no advantage to playing with three goalkeepers. You shouldn't do it. And I know from an inside source that it will no longer happen, and Jack Rose will now be the starting goalkeeper who will play all 90 minutes.
Was it a situation where the coach didn't know or was trying to learn more about each player, or why?
Well, you go from Joe Rayburn to Mike Arroyo to no one who's seen the field in three different goalkeepers.
So it was trial and error.
It's trial and error, and no one had to really separate themselves yet. But then when Tanner got two goals netted on him, I think Tanner got himself out of the race. And then I think when you look at Cole and then you look at Jack Rose was the obvious choice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As we are about to take a short break, I kind of compare it to football. When John and Cole were in that competition, John ended up kind of taking the bull by the horns, if you will. He kind of took that next step, and that's kind of why he started. It sounds like, you know, Drew, your inside source has that, and that's why, you know, they'll be starting for the rest of the season, which is exciting for the men's soccer team as they know who is going to be their goalkeeper. So, folks, we're going to take a short break. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.